Okay, chevra, I want to begin a new malacha, the malacha of tzoveya, which involves dying, not dying in the sense of death, but dying in the sense of changing the color of a substance. On a fundamental level, before we begin tzoveya, the achronim deal with a question, which is what is the difference between the malacha of tzoveya and the malacha of kosev. When you think about it, like I would say in a warped yeshiva bachur sort of way, so you'd say kosev and tzoveya are really the same thing. What I'm doing is I'm adding color to something else, no? When I take a marker and I write on the whiteboard, I am adding color to the whiteboard. When I take ink and I add it to paper, I'm adding color to paper. So the cha'ira, yesh ladon, what is the difference between tzoveya and kosev? That's like a really interesting question, no? What would you say? Anyone? Any suggestions? Differences between tzoveya and kosev?
Kosev is writing meaningful information.
Okay.
Like letters or symbols.
Kosev is writing meaningful information, and tzoveya is just changing the color. Agree with that?
I think it's more specific.
What, you think what?
Ways of conveying information which would not be kosev, like pictures, for instance. I don't think.
It's the same. Right. So there is a form of kosev called a picture, which is not necessarily conveying meaningful information. I look at a picture and I see, you know, a building that looks, let's say, theoretically like an East European stone edifice that is absolutely nothing architecturally interesting about it. So I know what that is. Or I don't know what it is, but it's something. It doesn't convey meaningful information. So what's interesting about this conversation here in this year is that you guys were both mechaving to different mahalchim in the stapler. In the stapler's sefer on Shabbos, you should read it tomorrow, but Ezra Seshem, I believe it's Simon Lamed Tes, although it might be Simon Mem. The stapler at first entertains that the difference between tzoveya and kosev is what Ben said, which is that tzoveya does not convey meaningful information, but kosev does convey meaningful information. Now, Gershon asked, what do you mean? Right, we know that drawing pictures conveys meaningful... Excuse me, drawing a picture does not convey meaningful information. That's what Gershon asked. So there are some who suggest that no, when I draw a picture, it does convey meaningful information. It's not that the particular symbol itself is meaningful, but I look at it and I know what it is. I look at the letters B-E-D, and I know that represents bed. If I have a picture of a bed, I know that represents a bed. So l'cha'ira, I am conveying meaningful information both with a picture and with letters. You seem perplexed.
Yeah, I meant it the opposite way. Do you think you're chayav for kosev if you draw a picture of a bed?
Yes, the Rambam says I am.
Why is there any sort of sheet cake which you are allowed to cut?
Why is it? So now you're asking a bam kasha. Like, how come I'm allowed to? The Gemara writes in Beitza that, remember, there's an iser that the Gemara has in Chulin called Basar Shenis Aleim Min Ha'ayin. If I have meat that no one was watching the whole time, right? If the meat was left unattended, so you're not allowed to eat the meat, the Gemara says. Again, Ashkenazim have certain kulas that are built into the system, yehei mashi yehei. But basar shenis aleim min ha'ayin is a problem. Zach the Gemara, Rav was machmer basar shenis aleim min ha'ayin, and Rav solved the problem by cutting his meat into specific shapes. So I think that's your kasha, right? Cutting something into a shape, it's clear from the Gemara, is not a problem. So how come a picture is a problem? So the English language Ribiat book writes that, in his opinion, there's a difference between simple shapes and elaborate shapes. Ich verstehe nicht den Ganzen. I don't understand that sphere at all. Why is a triangle not a significant shape, but if I make a flower with 17 tendrils coming out of it, it is significant? Ani pashut lo mivin et zeh. It would seem to me. And I, yeah.
Maybe to defend him, could it be that a simple shape is the same thing as one letter?
So it could be a simple shape the same as one letter, but let's say I have two simple shapes. Let's say I cut. Even if it's one letter is Asur Min HaTorah Lecha Ora based on Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah, who we spoke about in our Hakdamah Tashir yesterday. So what's going on over here?
Gertrude? It seems to me that it seems to be universal that in terms of mimatic, people distinguish between tearing through words. And
the mochek, right? Tearing through. In terms of mochek, we distinguish between tearing through. So that is going to be an interesting discussion that we'll have to have when I talk about mochek in Yirtzeh Hashem. Is mochek breaking letters or breaking words? Right. Some of the old parochas in shul would, you know, you open it up and you're breaking between the word. It says Shivisi Hashem and Yisam, and after you open the Aron, you have the Shin Vav and Yud Saf Yud on the other side.
Right.
That we'll have to discuss specifically in the context of Meichik. But there is a suggestion as follows: that simple shapes or even elaborate shapes are mutter. I'm allowed to cut a piece of meat to look like, I don't know, a very elaborate flower. That's mutter because there is no background. And maybe the malach of kosev requires a background. Meaning to say that kosev is the eshechayra agabe eshlavana. I have writing on top of something else. It could. Now, Rav Schechter told me that years ago, when Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zechareinu Lechracha, was the Rosh Kolal here in YU, so Rav Aaron wanted the guys to give chaburas, and I think the Rav attended the first chaburas in the Kolal. So I think Rav Schechter said he gave the first chabura. And Michal Sherkin, who's still a Rosh Hashiva in Torah's Moshe in Yerushalayim, gave the second Chabura in the Kolel. And after Michal Sherkin gave the second Chabura, they decided to cancel all Chaburas in the Kolel. And the reason why they canceled the Chaburas is because Michal Sherkin gave a Chabura about skywriting on Shabbos. And whether if I skywrite, I'm in violation of the Malach of Kosev. And he suggested that maybe the Malach of Kosev has to be that something is written on the background and is attached to the background. And since with sky writing, nothing is attached to the background, so maybe there is no Kosev. And apparently the Rav felt this is one of the worst svaras he ever heard in Judaism. I don't know actually why it's so bad. I think it's actually not bad. But apparently the Rav felt it was a terrible svara, and for this reason they stopped giving chaburas in the Kolel, even though Rav Aaron was a big fan of guys saying chaburas in the Kolel, in Kol Gavola and Gush. Rav Aaron used to have the guys say chaburas, and after the chabura, Rav Aaron would go around and he'd ask the guys to critique each other. And then Rav Aaron would himself give a critique, which would basically be a point by point, like, careful refutation of any of everything that was said, which is kind of awesome. So one could argue, let's go a step back. Remember, we want to know what's the difference between kosev and seveya. So you had the svara that kosev is conveying meaningful information. Seveya is color. Color is not meaningful information. Now, how do I define what is meaningful information? So the answer is, could you explain it to a blind person? There is no way to explain this, the philosophers, Bishop Berkeley actually has this idea in some of his philosophy texts. There is no way to convey to a blind person what someone who was never sighted, what blue means, what green means. I can convey to a blind person what a desk is. I can, right? So a picture, something that I can explain in words, is meaningful. Letters that write words, that's meaningful. I can explain to a blind person. Now, so that's one svara that we have.
There are contexts in which colors themselves convey information. For example, if you're on Shabbos, and somehow you gain the information about the gender of your child, right? If you painted your cake blue or pink, that would convey a great deal of it.
Oh, absolutely, but for a blind person, I can't explain what blue means and what pink is. I can explain what male means and what female is, but I can't explain why blue, or what is blue that... Right? The word blue is meaningless if you're blind, Rahman al-Islam.
But you can't read words if you're blind either, right?
Huh? No, you can explain... I mean, certainly any object I can explain to a blind person. Anything I make a picture of, I can explain to a blind person. And letters, I can explain to a blind person. Haraya, I have a thing called Braille. Right? So what Braille is letters for blind people. And that's easier to feel the dots. But in theory, I could raise the letters and you could trace. Das is an A, das is a B, das is a C. Right? In theory, you could convey... There is no way to convey color to a blind person. I like this, Vara.
There are... I don't see why it's any different. The color blue, or if you're painting a stop sign, the color red.
If I'm painting
a stop sign, the color red or the color green translate directly into words for American readers.
That's correct. In other words, I could say, but the color blue per se cannot be explained. It's the color blue in a part. It's the color red in a particular shape that conveys meaning. Right. Anything that conveys color is not meaningful, per se. So one possible distinction between seiveya and kosev is whether it conveys meaning or not. And I would explain that. Can you explain it to a blind person? And bazeh, I think we answered Gershon's kasha. Now, if that's the case, so Rav Nevensah has the following idea. You know, there's a discussion in the Paiskim about whether Yesh Tzoveya Ba'oichlim or Ein Tzoveya Ba'oichlim. We'll talk about it Emir Tashem, if not later today, maybe tomorrow, maybe Sunday, depending on my mood, of course. But the Mishnah Berurah, the Mechaber Paskins, Ein Tzoveya Ba'oichlim. Some Poskim say, you know what, even if you hold Ein Tzoveya, some Poskim say that Ein Tzoveya Ba'oichlim will allow me, let's say, for Leo HaSeder, to change the color of my wine. Not the Seder you like to have red wine, to remember the dam. So, some say you're Ein Tzoveya Ba'oichlim, you're allowed to change the color of your wine. Rav Nevensah Shlita Taina says, no, you can't do that. Because when I look at red wine, that tells a whole story. I look at that red wine and I remember the blood that the Jewish people, right? The blood that they, shed, that they were, that the amount that they were bleeding when they were in Mitzrayim, etc. So it conveys meaning. And if it conveys meaning, so Rav Nevensah argues that if I dye my wine from white to red, Leo HaSeder, so Enochanami, it might not be a malacha of Tzoveya, but it would be a malacha of Kosev. That, gentlemen, I think is brilliant. That idea. I don't know if it's correct, but it's brilliant.
Maybe a better way of asking is, why do you think painting something the color blue is Tzoveya, but writing the word blue is Kosev?
Why would that be? So I would say that... No, what you're saying is that if you have a blind person,
yeah,
and you trace those letters, B-L-U-E... The blind person still has no idea what it means. But the blind person will know that those letters... In other words, let's say I don't speak Russian. And let's say I see... Abba Gada Yaza, whatever, all the Russian letters. I know that these are Russian letters. And that convey, it might, I might not understand the meaning, but I know that it conveys meaning. The color blue is different than the letters B-L-U-E.
Okay, so here's a maybe better example. What would make any difference if you're blind?
You have to speak louder.
I'm on Shabbos. It's Shabbos. I've decided to put on a play. And the style in which I'm putting on my play is one of those 4D movie theaters where you spritz water at people when, like, they're on stinking ships. Right? The water conveys information. It says, the ship is going down. Right? Everyone
knows
that from their 4D movie experiences.
But again, but conveying information itself is not usher, right? Talking conveys information, right? This is the newest Chumra in Judaism. If Kleisev is conveying information, so how am I allowed to speak on Shabbos? Kasha. Teretz is that the Malach of Kleisev is conveying information by writing. Conveying information by making certain symbols. Conveying information by taking ink and putting that on paper. That is Kosev. Conveying information by using my vocal cords is not Kosev.
What you're saying is, Kosev is conveying information in a way in which, if you convey it a slightly different way, a blind person would be able to read it. Because normally when you write, right, it's flat.
I don't think I followed you.
You're saying Kosev is writing in such a way that if the letters were magically raised, a blind person could trace them.
Right.
That's very weird.
I agree. But it certainly is a possibility in understanding the difference between Kosev and Tzaveya. But I'll give you another possibility. Yeah.
There's a less easier definition that we can use. Maybe it's correct, maybe not. Writing down shapes that inherently have meaning.
That inherently have meaning? So that would be a malacha.
That would be our definition of kosev. Writing, but specifically writing down. So no.
But why is tzaveya not kosev? In other words, when I take blue and I color
a specific shape, so it's just filling everything.
So you're saying it's only shapes? I'm not. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, but let's say I, you know, randomly make certain, like totally randomly, I take blue ink and I randomly go across a piece of paper. Is that tzaveya or kleisev?
Or either.
Or neither. It's unlikely it's not tzaveya, no? Lemaisa, I dyed a piece of paper.
Isn't tzaveya where you dyed the entire thing? Or
no, not necessarily. But let me say it like this. Even though, let's go to my second mahalach. Even though, and this mahalach is my own, it's not found in that essay of the Stipler, but one could argue that kosev requires a background. Background means that you have some area that is not full. Tzaveya does not require a background. If I take a string and I dye it, there is no area that is undyed. Right now, it could be that it's half dyed, but kosev requires a background. Again, back to a Michel Shurkin svar that the Rav hated. Kosev requires a background, so Veya doesn't. Yes, sir.
If we all spend the next 6 hours and we find 26 different shades of color, and we match them up to letters and we memorize them, can we then do kosev to each other on Shabbos forever? Just this shit makes no sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, what you're basically arguing is that letters are only haskamas ko uma v'uma, right? A letter is not in. So I could have. I mean, I would argue that enochanami. Once I make a decision that red is A and green is B and C is magenta or whatever, so then enochanami, that would be kaisev. I would argue, right? I would say that your reductio ad absurdum is my enochanami.
How do you explain that to a blind person?
Okay, so enochanami, you're right, I can't. In that case, I can't explain it to a blind person. So obviously, my hesber, in other words, the ikar svara of whether it conveys meaningful information or not might be true, but my perush on the svara about how I know what information is meaningful versus what is not meaningful might not be correct. So I'd have to go back to the drawing board to figure out, I don't know. Yes, sir.
Referring about Kosev for a second, if I were to spill a cup of wine on your shirt, that'd be Soveo?
Yes. I mean, again, it might be, Soveo Derech Lichluch, which we'll have to talk about the dinim of that, and I think we have some makoros on it. But the stapler has the following svara about the difference between soveya and kaisev. This will be our third svara. Svara 1 is meaningful information. Svara 2 is whether it's attached. Svara number 3 is the stapler says that soveya enhances the background. Kosev, the background supports the ikker thing. In soveya, let's say the wool is the ikker thing, and I am enhancing the wool by adding a color to it. Kosev is the opposite direction. It's not that the wool is the ikar, it's that what is on top of the wool is the ikar. That's his svara. Yesh ladon again, whether this is correct. Because obviously there are times that I could add a color to wool, and my intention is not to improve the wool. My intention is for the color. But again, I think it is something that's worth thinking about. So B'kitzur HaMa'aseh, that's the third svara. Let's go on. When I talk about Seveya, yes sir. We didn't even read anything inside. Yeah.
Could we think about the issue, they sort of making 3D shapes of people or whatever? I forget exactly what it is, but isn't there a problem with making 3D models of certain things?
Of what?
3D models of certain things.
Drinking bottles?
Making three-dimensional models of certain things, like people or sun.
Again, I mentioned that the English language books say that elaborate shapes are a problem to make on Shabbos, Alt Kosev, but simple shapes are not. I don't understand that svara.
Not a Shabbos thing, but
Avodah Zara.
I think so.
I mean, there is a din, there isn't this Isser Vasiyas Tsuros, so, that I'm not allowed to make Shamoshim HaMishamshim B'morah, and I can't make, let's say, pictures of celestial bodies. I can't make pictures of angels.
So why don't we just borrow all the halachos from? So just take the halachos from over there and plug them here.
It's very hard to borrow one area of malacha from one area of halacha from another. It's a very, it's not simple. I don't know. Okay, I want to go weiter. So we spoke about the difference between soveya and kosev. If you look in the Rambam, so the Rambam tells me that there's a shear for tzeveya. The shear is a string that is 4 tefachim long, or something that you could make such a string. Now, it could be that the difference in tzeveya and kosev is just in the shear, although this is kind of a cop-out, that by kosev, the shear is shtei osios, and by tzeveya, the shear is 4 tefachim, but that's a cop-out because that's like a technicality. I don't think that relates to anything fundamental. Then the Rambam writes, "Ein tzeveya chayiv ad sheheit tzeva ha-miskayim. Tzeva she'eino miskayim klal. like I put some ink on metal, is putter. Sharei atom aviru l'shaito ve'inoy tzevei aklum v'choshe im alavtu miskayemes b'shabes is putter. So the Rambam tells me yisod that we need I want to talk about, I hope, today, that if you have tzeva she'inu miskayim, it's putter. But the case that the Rambam gives of tzeva she'inu miskayim is that I like put some ink on metal, and you get the impression that it's not going to last more than a day. She'arei ato ma'avira l'shaito. Meaning, it's not that the color will disintegrate on its own, but you will remove the color. There are different types of Eino Miskayim on Shabbos, no? When I was a kid, there used to be a TV show called Inspector Gadget. And in Inspector Gadget, one of the Yisodos was, they'd give him a letter and say, this letter will self-destruct. Remember that? But you can look it up. I'm sure it's on YouTube. Like, Kala Teriko is on YouTube. But does Eino Miskayim mean that it will self-destruct? Or does Eino Miskayim mean that I will destruct it? By Kesher, when I tie knots, so the definition of Eino Miskayim is, do I intend to untie that knot? However, by Tzeveya, you get an impression from the Rambam, Sharei ato ma'aviro l'shaito, that you will remove it, meaning that the Rambam is saying it's Eino Miskayim because you'll remove it. That's similar to Kosher, not necessarily similar to Kosev. If I write letters and I erase it right after, I don't think anyone would say that I am not chayiv min haTorah. If anything, people would say that you're chayiv twice. No? I'm chayiv for Kosev and Mochek. Okay. Well, talk about Eino Miskayim in a few minutes. Next, Rambam. There's a Machlokas Rambam and Raivin Halacha Yudalit. Who wants to tell me this Machlokas Rambam and Raivin in Halacha Yudalit? What's the Machlokas?
The Rambam thinks that the water decides the thing you're putting in it, and the Raivin thinks that the thing is dying in water.
Right. If I dye water, now why am I dyeing water? I'm dyeing water to make a dye. No? The way I make dye is I take certain herbs and I cook them, and now I have colored water, which we call dye. The Rambam says, if I make dye, then I am going to be chayiv. What does the Rambam say? So the Rambam asks on the Rambam, he says, one second, the Gemara says that the malach of bishuls went from the Mishkan because they would cook the dye. Cooking the dye. Well, one second. That's bishul? In fact, the Raivin, that should be tseveya, if the Rambam is correct. Rather, the Raivin writes that there's no tseveya if you make dye, because making dye is just one station along the way of the train. But the malach of tseveya is only when I get to the last station. So if I dye wool, I'm chayiv for tseveya. But if I don't dye wool, if I make something that will dye wool, so that is not called tseveya. That seems to be the perush of the Raivin. Now, what's the pshat in the Raivin? So in Rav Nevinsal Sefer, he argues that the malacha of tzeveya is when your kavana is liyapos es hadavar. My kavana when I dye wool is liyapos es hatzemer, to make the wool nicer. But when I make dye, my kavana is not to be miyapa the mayim. My kavana is so that the mayim can be miyapa something else. So one could argue that that is the pshat in the Raivin. Rav Nevinsal is actually interesting in that he likes certain dikduk ideas. So he wants to suggest that maybe the two letters in Hebrew, Beis Ayin, always refer to something that has a degree of permanence. Kavua has a Beis and an Ayin because it's permanent. Shavua has a Beis and an Ayin because every week is permanent. A Chodesh, a month, is not a set measurement. Months range in the amount of days that they have. No, it's going to be February soon. That's shorter than January, right? Shavat. And different months can have different amount of days. A Shana, a year, is not a fixed measurement because some years are leap years, some years are not leap years. Shavua, because there's a Beis and Ayin, means it's fixed, it's permanent. Permanent means it will remain this way, it is a final goal. Since Tzavua, or Tzaveya, has that Beis and Ayin, that has to mean it is a Yateitu Shelo Timot V'Olam. It is something that is fixed and permanent. And therefore, for the Ravid, Ein Hatzeva, if I create a die, so maybe creating a die is not the Malacha. So again, I have two Hezberim in this Ravid. Right? How come according to Ravid, making die is not the Malacha? Hezber number one is whether I'm being Miyapet. And Hezber number two is based on the Beis and the Ayin, the Kavua type of idea. What do you think of that Kavua type of idea?
I think it sounds pretty silly.
You're saying that Sharashim and Hebrew don't work like that.
That's certainly true.
But that certainly is true, right?
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean that there couldn't have been a post-facto explanation which was underlying the Gemara and the Rambam or whatever, but I think it's very unlikely.
Maybe. I mean, we're just trying to explain... we're trying to explain some facts on the ground. Okay. So this is the Malacha of Tzaveya. What I want to talk about now are certain practical cases within Tzaveya. So, the Mishnah Berurah writes, in Simin Shin Chav Zayin Se'if Katin Yud Beis. What does it say? Shin Chav Zayin Yud Beis. Right, did I give this to you on the sheets? I just don't remember anymore, but I put it on the sheets. Yeah, I gave it on the sheets. Shin Chav Zayin Yud Beis. Right, on the sheets where it says adding same color. Right? So what's the Mishnah Berurah saying? Here, you can look at it. Shin Chav Zayin Yud Beis, you should have it. What's the Mishnah Berurah say? What's the case? But in other words, is it in that I should not put oil on my foot and then put my foot into my shoe, because that is like the malacha of mi'abed. Mi'abed is like tanning leather. I just bought my 8-year-old son a new baseball glove. So there is something called glove oil. Do you guys remember this? Stuff that like you have to oil your glove to break it in? That's not like a thing. Right? So that's like sort of ma'aved. So I shouldn't put oil on my leather. But go on, biter. The end of the Mishnah Berurah is the part I want to talk about. The koshekane, here. Right? Now this din is only on a new piece of leather. A new piece of leather has to be broken in. An old piece of leather, l'chaira, there's no need to break it in, but it still is usher to put oil on an old piece of leather because you might... it's usher to put oil on an old piece of leather because people might think it's a new piece of leather and therefore you should be machmir. The Mishnah Berurah quotes all of this from the Chaya Adam. The Koshe came, the end of the Mishnah Berurah. Im kavanosei b'mshichas ha-shemen, kedishiyah min al-shachur, Nir yesh lesa l'kuli alma mishum chashash tzivia. What does that mean?
If you die, your shoe, that would be a problem.
So dying my shoe is a problem, but he's saying more. He's not talking about dying my shoe. He's talking about putting oil on my shoe. What happens if I put oil on my shoe?
It darkens it.
It goes from a little bit, black to be closer to gray, to like shiny or black, It's still black, but it's a different hue of black. Nachon? So Zakhni Mishnah Vura, when you deepen a color, when you change the hue of a color, that's also the malacha, where he doesn't write exactly, he says it's a chshash of tzviya. Based on this, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes that putting on lipstick, lipstick comes in different colors. There's some lipstick that change the color of your lips, and some lipstick that is the same color as your lips. Putting on lipstick, there might be an issue of spreading, but putting on lipstick is going to be tzeveya, even if it's the same color as my lips, because it deepens the color. Putting on clear nail polish is a malacha also, Because it deepens the color, it makes it shinier. Any change in the hue at all is going to be the malacha of tzeveya. That is the next yisod. Let's go through a few other cases of tzeveya. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva. I give this to you, Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva about the photo. We spoke about lipstick. That's that Tshuva in Igris Moshe Chelak Aleph Simin Kuf Yud Dalet. The next Tshuva in Igris Moshe Chelak Gimel Simin Mem Hey. What does Rav Moshe say over there? Right? On our sheets. What's Chelak Gimel Simin Mem Hey? Let's go.
Transition
lenses, right? Rav Moshe calls them photogray lenses, meaning when I'm outside in the sun, they're dark. When it's dark, it's light. Rav Moshe says that there's no tzeveya. Why is there no tzeveya?
There's no dying.
What?
There's no dying.
But there is dying. I'm doing something that makes it change colors.
He distinguishes between the shading and the dying.
He distinguishes, show me the words.
It says,
Makes the halo nitzba klum, midibamar eharishon bechazara, v'chein chozer chalila kama pa'amim. The avam nitan l'shem l'sham, davar shenichnas al zchukhit, ube'emtza eza tzeva mechasa, harei lo matzbiya ta zchukhit, ela mechasa ota, umetakin mona vada roshayach, etc. Let's say I have a piece of glass, clear glass, and I put some paper on the clear glass. And so I change my glass to orange, because there's a piece of construction paper on it. So now it's orange. It's not clear. Is that tzeveya? Absolutely not, says Rav Moshe. And I think what Rav Moshe is getting at is because it's completely and thoroughly temporary. Anything that's meant, there are different ways of saying it. I'll say two different ways. One way to say this is something that's meant to go on and off, is not a malacha. The Rishonim talk about, how am I allowed to open and close a door on Shabbos? Shouldn't it be bona?
Why would you apply the principle to tzaveh but not to kosev?
So, you're talking about by kosev, I might apply it to kosev also. I might. In other words, if I have letters that are written on the side of a page, and it's meant to open and close, my book says Mendel Gottesman Library, L'mashal, right? Is that a malach of kosev? So it could be it's not. The Rambam writes in the Tshuva that's not kosev, because it's meant to do that. That's the kavana. The cheftza is made in a way that's going to be back and forth and back and forth. The door, and it could be the photogray lenses, are meant in a way that it goes back and forth. And back and forth. So that might be the pshat in Reb Moshe. And Reb Moshe writes these words, Midbum Ma'ar HaRishon B'Chazara V'chein Chozer Chalila Kama Pa'amim. Meaning it goes back and forth and back and forth. It's like the door that I open and close.
Most writing can only be read in a certain light.
But it's not intended. The chepta is not made in a way that it's supposed to go back and forth and back and forth. It's supposed to change. The chepta is made in a way that it's supposed to remain. The writing is supposed to remain all the time. I'd rather the writing remains. It happens that sometimes there's an external factor that the lighting in the room is not good and therefore I can't read the words. But that doesn't really fundamentally change, right, the writing. Agreed?
Would it matter to you if the words on the page faded when it got dark? Would it affect your use of the book?
Again, if it would happen automatically, that it goes on and off and on and off, if the chafza is meant to go on and off, let me give you an example, what I think Ramosha might mean. My watch. So you probably can't see it, but my watch has a neon green color on it that at night when it's dark, I could see what time it is. Right? What's that called? I have no idea. It's a Nes Min HaShemayim. That's what it's called. Miracle. Right, miracle glass, miracle watch. So Rav Moshe, I think, is saying, according to one way of reading Rav Moshe, that it's chozer chalila. It goes green, white, green, white. My lenses go black, white, black, white. Right, photogray lenses. That's what Rav Moshe says. Transition lenses. But alternatively, I think Rav Moshe might be saying something different. Daha lo nitzba klum. It's not getting dyed at all. The way Rav Nevensal explains this idea is that the malacha of tzeveya means I apply a tzeva to a davar ha-nitzba. I apply some color to some chefza. Now, when... is there any color that I'm applying to my lenses that make my lenses change? Absolutely not. There's something called sunlight. Sunlight is not black. Sunlight is not white. Sunlight, tzeva means I apply blue to a substance. But over here, I'm not. There's no blue. There's no black. There's no tzeva in the sun. How come it changes? It changes because this chepta is made in a way that it goes back and forth. But I could read Rav Moshe as saying, halo nitzba klum, meaning that there is no dye that is added. There is no tzeva and no nitzba. And the raya to that is the fact that it goes back and forth and back and forth. Ben.
Two things. Number one, could you explain Rav Moshe saying that it needs to have something, it needs to be absorbed. So if I have a glass and I paint the glass red, that's not called tzeveya because it's not being absorbed.
I don't think he's saying it's based on being absorbed. Not at all. Right? In other words, the Rambam spoke about writing or painting metal. The metal never absorbs the paint. Nonetheless, the only reason why I'm not chayiv, the only reason why for the Rambam it's asur midrabbanan is because it is temporary. I don't think anyone says that has to become absorbed. That was the svara that we had by Malabain. I don't think we had that svara by Tzeveya.
So why would it be different by Tzeveya?
Why would it be different or why would it not be different?
No.
Again, I don't think... Rav Moshe brings a raya by putting a piece of construction paper on the glass. He says, obviously, that's not Tzeveya. That's his, like, reductio ad absurdum. I don't know.
Same thing. What's up with your construction paper and a layer of paint?
I have a layer of paint and I put it on. But again, obviously I think you need some sort of attachment to it.
Even though it's not the layer.
What?
It's not the layer though. Second question.
Let me just finish up because I want to make two more points and then the Mir Tashem either... I'd like to finish Tzeveya tomorrow, so maybe tomorrow we'll have one more share in Tzeveya. Perhaps I'll give some other Makoros. So Rav Nevensal has this svara that Seveya requires a tseva and a davar hanitzvah. There's a discussion in the poskim about whether you're allowed to sunbathe on Shabbos. No? You saw the tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak, right? I gave you a Minchas Yitzchak tshuva somewhere here. No? So Minchas Yitzchak says sunbathing on Shabbos is aser. Nishmi Shabbos Kol Chaser, Shlem Bezaman Arbach, writes that sunbathing is mutter. Now, there is a whole rationale, a whole discussion why sunbathing would be mutter, according to Shlem Bezaman. He entertains the idea that this is called grama. Grama in the sense that there's a time delay. And because there's a time delay, it doesn't happen right away. You have to spend some time in the sun in order to get tanned. So therefore, since there's a delay, that's not seveya. It's grama. Now, the Archos Shabbos asks on this svara from Shlomo Zalman, he says, time delay is not automatically grama. The Gemara speaks about, let's say I tie somebody up in the hot burning sun. You take some rope and you tie the guy up in the Sahara Desert so the guy can't move, and the hot burning sun kills him. Are you a Ritzayach? Zach the Gemara, Sanhedrin Afayin Zayin, that's Ritzicha, no? That's called Mitzamtzim. You are locking a person in a way that a result will inevitably happen, you're Chayim. That's called a maisa. That's not called grama. So here also, l'cha'ora, it would not be a grama. It's hard to know exactly what the svara would be when it comes to the sun tanning. Is there any svara that should be mutter? So according to Rav Nevinson, there's a great svara, because tseveya requires a tseva on top of the davar hanitzvah. Just like with the transition lenses, we're saying that there is no tseva. Here also we're saying that there is no tseva. Now, there are certain things, like little kids' toys, that they change colors. Now, I remember as a kid in Fruity Pebbles, used to get a spoon, right, that could go from red to blue or something, depending on how hot the water was. You know what I'm talking about? So, is it worth it to use one of those? So, according to the way Rav Nevinson understands it, that there is only tseveya if you add a tseva, so the hot water is not called a tseva.
What about a laser printer?
A laser printer! Ay, 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 ay. Again, la maisa, it's a laser printer, it's probably going to be kosev in most cases that I use it. You're saying I just make a plane, so why would that be a problem? You're saying, why would it not be a problem? You're saying because there's no tseva, but there is a tseva. I have a certain cartridge in my laser printer.
The sun also has fuel.
Huh?
The sun also has fuel.
No, but there's no color inside my cartridge. I imagine I would look in, if I break it open, I imagine red will come out.
Okay.
Right? But my sun, right, the sun up in the Shamayim, the sun, there's no color that comes out of the sun.
So the way a laser jet works is that it has like little particles. I believe that it has particles of plastic or whatever that is the color, but there's a laser, a heat source that diffuses it into the paper. So
there is color inside.
Yeah, but it's like sand.
Okay, but that sand, but the yellow sand, the sand that makes yellow is different than the sand that makes red.
Yeah, but
so
not,
there is
it's not fixed to the paper.
But there is a tseva, right? The basic point I'm trying to make is azoi, that if the pshat in Rev Moshe is that you need a tseva and a davar hanitzvah to be chayiv, so then putting my spoon into the hot water is not tseveya, because the hot water is not a tseva. However, if I say that the svara of Rev Moshe is that it's meant to go back and forth and back and forth, that might mean, and Reb Nissen Karelitz, who was a posek in Bnei Brak, was nifter a few years ago, I think, Nissen Karelitz understood it this way. He understood that my transition lenses have two uses. There's the indoor use and the outdoor use. There's the sunny day use and the cloudy day use. They're both useful. But if I have something that's only useful in one way, so one could argue that is not called Tzeveya. Now, the case that they talk about is like a thermometer. You know the thermometers that you put on your forehead? So he says that maybe it's only usable one way, and therefore it's not the Malacha Tzeveya. Now, I do not understand this distinction. Because l'cha'ayra, it's usable both ways. It's either usable to say that I have 98.6, or it's usable to say I have 101, I should go to the emergency room right away. But whatever it is usable in both directions. I think it should be the same as the photogray lenses. And I think according to both sources of Moshe, the thermometer should be permitted. Nonetheless, me'ezah sibah shehi v'ani lo mevin etzel igam, right? The Orfel Shabbos says that even if you're making on photogray lenses, you're not going to be making on those thermometers or on those kids' toys. And I don't understand why, but we'll have to think about this for tomorrow, God willing. Okay, have a good day.